housing units. So that might...
You're gonna get started then? Good evening, everyone. Thank you for joining us tonight for our city council meeting. I ask that we all rise for the pledge of allegiance.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic which stands one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
House clerk, call the roll.
Ms. Grant Smith.
Present.
Dr. Enix.
Present.
Ms. Kliotek. Ms. Leon.
Present.
Dr. Van Wert. Ms. Wilhelm.
Present.
And Mr. Columbus.
Present. Thank you. Councilwoman Kliotek and Dr. Van Wert will not be joining us tonight. And then just as an aside, Mayor Reynolds will likely be late, as tonight was the service for Mr. Ronald Haas, our longtime Duffmere School District instrumental teacher. So Mayor Reynolds will be joining us once he's available. Moving on to the approval of minutes for November 21st, 2023. Any comment on the minutes? Seeing none. We're going to move on to public comment. So we will start, as is custom, with any subject not being voted on this evening, with a 5-minute time limit for all of our speakers. For anyone watching on YouTube, if you want to watch the live portion of the meeting, feel free to scroll ahead to the current recording. And then we'll go through our list tonight. We have 9 speakers signed up. So we'll start with Ms. Mary Jo McCool.
Mary Jo McCool, 449 Grandview Boulevard. I've been attending these council meetings for the past 9 months and wish tonight to express my extreme dissatisfaction with specifically the 3 in attendance at the last meeting. I am a retired diocesan educator and taught for over 12 years. I took immense pride in encouraging all my students to be innovative and critical thinkers. All assignments encouraged collaborative as well as independent ideas. At the last meeting, one council member suggested utilizing local college students on the Southside Community Center project. She was not suggesting that this group be totally in charge of the study, but merely helping to facilitate. I, for one, applaud her suggestion. What better way to provide a valuable learning experience to those prospective participants? Once again, the city missed a wonderful opportunity to encourage growth and experience in this age group, but also missed an opportunity to extend the spending reach of critical finances. The condescending tone of those responding to this council member, I assure you, did not go unnoticed by those in the audience. I expressed my dismay directly to this council member personally. While I'm not dismissing the needs of the Southside Bethlehem, there are other parts of the city that are equally deserving of attention. In West Bethlehem, where I reside, there are no community centers, parks, or playgrounds for us. The Rose Garden, according to Mr. Cologne, is the site for my neighborhood. Unfortunately, that is not a viable option for children and half a dozen or so adults in the neighborhood. The portion of Bethlehem situated in Lehigh County appears to be forgotten and viewed upon as a second-class location, not worthy of time, money, or effort by the rest of Bethlehem. We do not matter except at election time. Last Tuesday, I attended my first and only budget meeting. I was quite dismayed that only council members and city employees were able to view specific tax dollar figures for departments. The meeting was merely an open forum for individuals to tout their accolades and seeking approval for jobs well done. Please excuse my lack of enthusiasm, but doing your best is in your job description. All comments and accolades centered around job performance with a skeleton staff. Upon my return to retail work after COVID, my department went from 3 full-timers and 2 part-timers to 2 full-timers. My coworker and myself solely worked and managed a department that has netted between $1.5 and $2 million yearly. My parents did their best to instill an excellent work ethic. The night was a waste of taxpayer dollars. The controller's office explained an unused $30,000 in its budget. stated it merely gave it to the solicitor's office. I wonder if this transfer of funds went through proper channels, especially since both the solicitor and controller were in Northampton County Court dealing with a misappropriation of funds, albeit a slightly different circumstance. I believe there needs to be a paper trail in all finances to avoid the appearance of impropriety. My second topic tonight concerns the proposed 2.6 tax increase. The governing bodies of this city, I feel, are not fiscally responsible. Same adage, tax and spend. I reiterated my personal financial situation regarding the 2.6% increase. I felt like Wile E. Coyote hitting the proverbial wall or running off the cliff and having the anvil fall on my head. Mayor Reynolds related how the tax increase would have a slight effect on his mother, and Councilwoman Leon received an answer to her question. I questioned how much my taxes would increase in Lehigh County portion and did not receive the same respect, and if I wanted an answer, to wait until after the meeting. Very unprofessional and inconsiderate treatment toward a resident. I sat and calculated what I am assuming my tax increase will be and compared it to what my Social Security COLA minus the increase in deductible and premiums. I will be in the red. The amount of red will be even more if the city raises the sewer tax. I have not received a response as to where the $60 per year stormwater runoff tax goes. I just want to thank you sincerely and continue with your tax and spending policies. I am now going to have to sit and scrutinize my budget. I believe members of this council have multiple household incomes. I am not that fortunate. My household consists of myself and my four-legged best friend and protector. The deficit in my budget may force me or him to go without. I should rehome him and use that money to purchase a handgun for protection. I know of one member of this body who would oppose that. I may have to eliminate my Tunnel to Towers charitable contribution. One final comment. There was discussion about hiring additional personnel in the future. My advice is do not. AI is coming, and it will not go to budget hearings, tooting its own horn and expecting accolades for doing its job. My closing thought is a quote from Robin Williams. Be kind, for everyone you meet is fighting a battle you know nothing about. Thank you for allowing me to speak.
Thank you. Excuse me. Our next speaker tonight is Mr. Brian McCricker.
Hi, my name is Brian McCricker. I live at 1948 Pine Avenue. I'm here to talk about ADA and non-compliance in this whole city. I cannot get around my own block right now because there's people blocking driveways with their vehicles or sidewalks with their vehicles. I called the police like I was told to, and the police did nothing. When it snows, I can't get around my city block because the people who are responsible for cleaning the sidewalks and the ramps and making sure that we do it so that we can get around, they don't do it. There's nothing done to these people. Right now, I could go down and have Chris Kindlemark closed down. They're against ADA compliance. Every ramp like this, right here, going up to get me out of here, is supposed to be 1 inch incline for every 12 inches. I'd love to challenge every council member and the mayor and Mike Alco and everybody else to come out, and I'll give you my spare wheelchair and tell you to climb one of these ramps going from the street to so I can get on the sidewalk. It's very hard, especially when they're out of compliance. I don't know why I have to keep coming down here and talking about stuff like this all the time. It's getting ridiculous. I served in the military. It's something I don't like to say, something I don't like to spread. I was in the U.S. Army from 83 to 89. I am in this chair because of the Army. I hate it because of all the restrictions around my own city that I cannot go places. It's getting ridiculous. Right now on Robbins Way at Airpine Avenue, there's a pickup truck blocking half the sidewalk. on Hilltop right now, and I checked this before I came out here, there's a vehicle blocking all the way down to the curb. The cops were called about it, and they don't do nothing. There's ordinance 531-9-2 that says no obstructions on the sidewalks. That's vehicles. I guess you cops don't know what that law is. There's also another thing I'd like to talk about. Stonehenge Apartments. These people have a parking lot, but they're too lazy to use the parking lot, and they're making it very hazardous for us to drive around in our own neighborhood where we pay taxes. Something needs to be done. Right now, if you go out to Stonehenge Road and drive down there and start measuring according to the ordinance, people are parking way too close to the driveways. There's a vehicle out there that is a commercial van. It's a company. There's an ordinance that says they're not supposed to park on city streets. Every night, this guy's parked there. We can't see to get out of Airpine Avenue. Third one, Robin's Way. Come out and drive Robin's Way with your vehicle. This year, when the snowplows come through, and last year when the snowplows came through, I could tell when they came down Robin's Way. I could be sitting in my house and hear it. Where every place where they have dug up the street has sunk. And I don't mean just by an inch. I mean it's turning into craters out there. Every time I go somewhere, I have to figure out where the roads are torn up. And I agree with this lady that out on the West End, in that area, we are left behind. Our roads are, they're a wreck. But if I come across the bridge, the roads are good. You have UGI coming here digging. They dig. They don't do it right. They don't replace the dirt right. And everything sinks. Sorry about the way I feel, but you know what? It's getting ridiculous. I pay taxes in this city. I serve this country. I'm like a third-rate citizen. Thank you for your time. Oh, and also, hold on, there's one more. Try to traverse the route I have to traverse when Music Fest is going on to go from north to south side. I have to come over to Fahey Bridge. And that ramp for me to get across this thing is way out of code. 1 inch incline for every 12 inches. Go over and walk it. Thank you. Have a good night.
Thank you, Mr. McCrickard. And we'll continue the conversation we had before the meeting with some members of the administration about the things you spoke about. Our next speaker signed up tonight is Mr. Mark Will Weber.
West Elizabeth Avenue, Mark and Sally. I probably won't need my full 5 minutes, at least that's what I'm saying right now. Mainly I wanted to let council know that we did get our Facebook page up called The Drip, and it's going to be a watchdog group asking for transparency and accountability from water and sewer. And we just got it up right around Thanksgiving. We already have over 80 members. My mentor down in DeKalb County, Georgia, Star McKenzie, tells me I'll have 800 by this time next year. We'll see. But she's helped guide me through the process of how to do this. And, mainly what we're going to do is we're going to put a lot of information up there for people to look at, information that doesn't seem to be very forthcoming from water and sewer itself, given our experience with them. It's more like the Wizard of Oz behind the curtain. So we'll have a lot of information up there. We'll have advice for people that suffer the same victimization that my wife and I suffered earlier this year. and that is the right word, we were victimized. We had a member today that joined, Jean McNeil, who's a rep over in Lehigh County, and I was thrilled to see her interested enough to join our group. I wish I lived in Lehigh County because I'd actually vote for her, because she has legislation before Harrisburg that would be beneficial to the customer, the citizen consumer, in regards to these abusive bills that are four, five, six times your normal amount. And so I think hopefully there'll be more people with clout like Jean McNeil with guts that will join us. And I also hope council looks at the page, even if you don't want to join us. I think there's a lot of good information on there about smart meters that nobody else is giving to the public. I'm sure that the average people out there walking around don't know anything about smart meters, because I certainly didn't several months ago. Now I spent a lot of time reading about smart water mishaps in Naperville, Illinois, and Mount Pleasant, South Carolina, and other places. But they happen all the time, you know, and it's one of the big spiels of the water and sewer people that the meters are never wrong. That's going to be doubly not true when smart meters come in. And if you don't believe me, just go on the drip and look around for 5 to 10 minutes and play some of the investigative videos from TV stations in San Diego, Chicago, various places. So, and they're very eye-opening. So, as I said last time here, I do hope the smart meters thing goes smoothly with us, but I don't think anybody knows. There's no information on the water site when I go on there, unless I've missed it. I don't think, and maybe Mr. Boscolo will correct me, but I don't think the average person knows that they're mandatory, right? You can't refuse to take them. Is that true? I know you can't answer. Just nod your head yes or no. I don't think you can. You have to take them. And there are states that have, very few states that have an opt-out clause where you can refuse to take a smart meter. But here, not only do you have to take it, but you have no choice in which one they give you. You know, it's like, it's not like you can pick a Ford or a Mercedes. You get what they give, they're going to give you. And as I said last time, the one I got, the Sensus iPearl, is has failed miserably in DeKalb County, Georgia, and is still failing down there. Okay. Now, I have an updated model, so hopefully it's going to work better than the ones down in Georgia where people are amassing massive bills that they can't pay. Okay, I guess I did take all my time, so I'll let my wife get in and take another 5 minutes. Thanks very much for letting us speak.
Thank you. And Ms. Sally Woolever?
Yes. Sally Woolever, 66 West Elizabeth Avenue. Once again, thank you for allowing us to speak, and thank you to the Bethlehem Press for their continued coverage on our issue. We really appreciate that. I'll be brief tonight. I have two concerns I'd like to address. Through social media and our new website called The Drip, we have found at least four, now five, after tonight, households that have received a bill for an absurd amount of water usage during the past year. Their experiences were very similar to ours. My first concern is that there doesn't appear to be any protocol or policy that the Bethlehem Water Department follows when it deals with these outrageous bills that are anomalies. We were given a good faith gesture discount on the sewer portion of our bill, but we had to pay the entire water usage amount. The discount we were given was based on the highest bill we had received in the last 5 years, not even close to our normal usage. Another household who had the same problem was given their discount on the water usage portion of the bill. They had to pay the entire sewer portion, the complete opposite of ours. Others ended up paying the full amount, especially if they didn't feel like filing the dispute and going through the hassle of that. Shouldn't there be a uniform policy or protocol which governs how these situations are handled? Especially since the head of Bethlehem Water Department is a political appointee and could easily change with a new when a new administration takes office. There seems to be no consistency as how to deal with these situations. They appear to be dealt with on a whim. Many water departments do have policies or protocols that are in place to handle situations like ours and many others. One local water department charges what the household's most recent bill was. No dispute needs to be filed. Other water departments take an average of the household's usage over either the last 6 months up to 3 years. And that's what they charge the customer instead of the ridiculous amount. Doesn't this make sense? Instead of gouging the homeowner, as was done to us and other people that we have now discovered, it's just common sense. A possible solution to this dilemma, in addition to instituting a policy, would be to create a city council subcommittee to oversee these anomalous situations. This would be a welcome safeguard to protect the citizens of Bethlehem. A second set of eyes to make sure every situation is treated fairly and consistently. This is what we are not seeing with the current Bethlehem Water Department. There's no consistency or compassion. I would like to urge City Council and the Mayor's Office to take a more active role in overseeing the Water Department. I think it's important that you do your own due diligence and not take the Water Department's word when it comes to many of these situations that occur and how they are handled. We have found the Water Department to be less than forthcoming in many instances, and in fact, sometimes misleading. Again, it will take some effort to put safeguards in place, but I know your constituents would appreciate it and thank you in the long run. No other Bethlehemite should have to go through what we've been dealing with for the last 9 months. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Ms. Bullweber. Our next speaker tonight, Daniel Mugito.
Good evening. My name is Dan Mugito. I live at 20 West Market Street. My office is next door at 14 West Market Street. I'm speaking this evening about the Walnut Street garage, not the items that are on the agenda. First, let me just say that I respect your commitment to serving the citizens of the city. It's not easy being on council. I get that. But in the weeks ahead, you're going to have a very rare, maybe once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to cast what I call a legacy vote, a vote that will have a major and lasting impact on this city and the historic district that will last long after you are gone, long after we're all gone. This vote will impact the plans, will be about the plans for the new Walnut Street garage. That's going to be a vote, I'm sure this room will be packed. That's going to be a vote that should not be made in a vacuum or behind closed doors, but only after thoughtful, informed, and respectful discussion. As members of council, I invite you to listen to your constituents, your neighbors. A few years ago, during a controversial zoning issue that came before city council, a very young Michael Colon took the time to come to our house.
Still young.
You're a lot younger then. And he talked to us and other people on our street to get our opinion about whatever it was that was going on at the time. I really don't remember. But it had impact on the neighbors on our street. My wife and I were stunned. How refreshing. I didn't care what party he was from. All I cared about was that he cared enough to listen to the people that were going to be impacted by the zoning decision. In that spirit, the spirit of taking that extra step, I invite you, I urge you, to come to the HARB meeting tomorrow night in this room at 5 o'clock. come at 5 and just listen. You'll get a sense of what your constituents feel about the proposed plans for the new garage. I'm not asking you to make any decisions. I just want you to listen. There is a lot of very smart and very well-informed citizens who are concerned about the impact the parking garage is going to have on the historic district. Not whether or not there should be a garage or not, whether or not it should be torn down, but the impact the plans are going to have on the historic district. These are smart people, and they're very informed. And you're going to be in the middle of this very, very soon. To quote my Sicilian grandfather, you don't get any dumber by listening. So I'd like you to come and listen. Is it your responsibility as members of council? That's not for me to say, but it is the right thing to do. It is the right thing to do to come and hear people tomorrow night at the HARD meeting. Listen to them and their needs and their desires and weigh what they have to say. It's going to be very important before your legacy vote. Thanks.
Thank you, Mr. Najito. Is that for him or for me for going around the neighborhoods? Our next speaker signed up this evening is Linda Christman.
My name is Linda Christman, and I'm from Lehighton, Pennsylvania, Carbon County, and I'm president of Save Carbon County. And as you know, we have been fighting the use of sewage sludge as fertilizer. The EPA is in the middle of a 3-year study of sewage sludge, and they have determined that there are 179 pollutants found in sewage sludge. We have been urging your council to take Bethlehem out of the sewage sludge business. But I want you to know we are attacking this problem from every angle. My assistant. One line of attack is to educate farmers and consumers. And we have been passing out these signs to farmers who take the pledge not to use sewage sludge. My husband and I have a farm. We don't use sewage sludge. We have no problem producing crops without using toxic sewage sludge. I have reviewed the wastewater treatment budget for 2024, and I've had a brief conversation with Mr. Boscola, and it does not appear that the city of Bethlehem will be changing the way you deal with sewage sludge in 2024. But I urge you not to forget this issue. Study it in 2024 so that you can make a change in 2025. This is a problem that is not going away. And in conclusion, I want to thank each and every one of you for your careful attention to what we've had to say, even though we are from a different county, and I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you. Next speaker signed up is Artie Caratola.
Hi, I'm Artie Caratola, 813 Lawford Street, Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. Okay, now we're on time. I'd like to make a statement that should be looked at since we are viewed at by many cities all throughout the country, all throughout the whole United States, the Christmas city. I'm not going to mention any names because I don't want to be considered anti-Semitic here, you know, like... we are the city of Bethlehem. Of course, there's Bethlehem in Tennessee as well, but they're not the Christmas city. We are the Christmas city. So the thing is, we're being looked at. Now, if we do something that would be totally, totally something that politicians would not do, if it went straight across the whole United States, our country would be definitely in the green. I make a proposal. Police and the firemen and military personnel work for just so much money. Military personnel gets about $35,000 a year putting their life on the line. Police are lucky if they get about $50,000 to $60,000. Same thing with firemen. How come elected officials aren't getting $100,000 to $200,000 a year all over the place? Now, if we vote in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, that elected officials get paid according, because they're serving their country, according to how military personnel gets paid for the first 3 years to serve their city, which is serving their country, we could be an example and go all throughout the whole United States and get our country totally in the green. Just a suggestion. Many of you politicians are probably laughing at that, saying, I went to Harvard. I studied real hard. But what makes your life more important than a fireman or a policeman or a military personnel? I served in the Army, and I put my life in harm's way for a little to no money. And many people gave their all. The gentleman that spoke before gave a lot. Praise God, I'm still able to walk. In spite of all the things that I went through, I'm still able to move around. But the thing is, elected officials, yeah, you use your brain, but do you put your life on the line? The congressmen, lawyers in Congress, are voted for too much for the politicians to get. Think about it. We can be the first ones to make that stand, to make it that elected officials get paid no more than what a military personnel gets. That's just one thing that I was. The other thing I want to talk about is I put people before me. Near my house, the parking authority has a parking area. Now, I for one don't like to kill anything. So I got a beautiful tree in my yard. Now, somebody maybe about 7 feet tall, maybe bumped their head on it or something like that. And that's why the branches were cut down. I wouldn't cut those branches down. There's no way I would be trying to take the life of my tree. But that's been there. And I talked to the parking authority about it. They haven't removed it. That debris has been into that spot for about 2 months now. Too long. That's why I'm presenting it to you. Hope we get it removed. Now, if they would remove it, they'd have another parking space. But the thing is, I swear to God, had nothing to do with that tree being put in next to my house. And my book is called My Life Was Built on Miracles. And a lot of pastors will stand by what I say to be true, not to mention any names, because I don't want to be considered anti-Semitic, as I was stated on the front page of the Morning Call last year, because I said something about some Jewish leaders. Heaven forbid, I'm not saying that. We're not going to talk about God being Jewish or being whatever. But God bless you all, and you have a Merry Christmas.
Thank you, Mr. Caratola. Our next speaker signed up tonight, Abiel Solitario.
Hi, Abiel Solitario. I live at 747 Hawthorne Road. So recently, I went on a vacation for 4 weeks to Europe, and when I came back, I had a bill for water usage of 48,000 gallons of water. And as a young new homeowner, I went to my parents about it just because I needed to know, like, is that normal? Like, what should I do? What's going on? Like, 48,000 gallons seems like a lot. I come to find 48,000 gallons is like the size of an Olympic swimming pool. And my house is a one-bathroom house with a kitchen sink, so it's very unlikely that 48,000 gallons came out of it in one quarter's time. And as I'm learning about this issue and what to do, I stumble across the Drip Facebook page, and I learn that this has happened to other people. So as I'm here tonight just to let you know that this is indeed happening to a few people at least in the Bethlehem area. And when we do call the water department, we either get put on, or at least I can speak for myself, like I got, you know, put on hold for a couple hours and then it just hung up. And then that happened a couple times. And then when I did get through to somebody, you know, they did say the whole same speech that they've been telling everybody else, like, are you sure there's no leaks? Are you sure your toilet's not running? And I tell them I've had a plumber come to the house, and they say, you know, maybe somebody's taking your water from the outside, but I don't even have a, like, my hose hookup doesn't even work. So if somebody was taking water, could they teach me how they're doing that? Because I would like to have a hose. But anyway, so I think it's just been very frustrating because there doesn't seem to be a process to actually address the issue and to figure out why I was charged for 48,000 gallons, especially when my bills in the past, my highest one before had 10,000 gallons, but I was usually resting at like 7 or 8,000 gallons a quarter. So just to jump so many gallons, and especially when I was on vacation, is just very confusing. And I think I just wanted to come here, make it known it's happening to many people, and we're being charged a lot, and there's no process for trying to figure out what the actual problem is, with whether it's the water meters or something different. So it's just frustrating, and I hope that we can kind of start to, or you can kind of start to think of what could happen next to make sure that there is a process for when these things happen. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next speaker is, I believe, Scott Stein. I apologize if I'm misreading your last name.
Okay. Hello, my name is Scott Stein. I'm 745 Hawthorne Road, Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. That happens to be my daughter as well, living next door, which is nice, and she went to get married this summer. I did go and check the house out, just to let you know, before I left, as a dad would. And there was no way there's 48,000 gallons disappearing out of that toilet or out of that water. It was not happening. I also happened to be the chief, was the chief engineer of HT Lyons, a very big mechanical contractor in the area, who ran the engineering operations for 20 years. I do know what I'm talking about in regards to this. There's very likely the water department is going to come out and see that the meter's working just fine. Because whenever these type of things happened in my career, it was always a controls issue. It could be with the firmware, it could be with the software, it could be working with many things, and the water department will not have the internal capability to check out this problem. It's not possible. They don't have this skill set, and I'm not making fun of the water department. I'm telling you, this is a high-level issue that's going on here. So I suggest that you launch an investigation by a third-party engineering group, can figure this out. And instead of denying the fact that this is happening or people must be leaving their water running all over the 50th, it just so happens to be two people that left for a month happen to have about 40,000 extra gallons charged. So maybe there's something that pings, hey, there's too many zeros here, and it's adding in a problem on the controls of the problem. I'm just telling you, I've seen these things before. I'm familiar with problems like this. If you have some engineer, try to look at this and as a problem, say, find out the problem, not try to figure out how to wash the problem away, because it won't go away. I want to make it very clear, this will keep happening and it'll get worse. And the public usually forgives problems when they're not your fault right away, because you listen, you try to address it. But if you don't address this and it comes back, it'll become bad for you. So please address this issue. It's simple. Give it to a consultant to figure this out. And there is an answer. When things are repeatable, there's an answer. That's my suggestion.
Thank you, Mr. Stein. That exhausts our list of everyone who had signed up in advance. So I'll go around the room, see if there's anyone else. Now again, this is anything that's not being voted on this evening. So I'll start to the left. Was there anyone who wants to make comment? Mr. Hackett?
Hello, my name is Bud Hackett. I live on Mercator Road in Bethlehem. And I have a couple of different topics that I want to speak on. One, very briefly, is I want to condemn the, I guess it's commend, not condemn, The Public Works Department, I'm watching the people in the trucks and with the rakes that are in our neighborhood collecting leaves. I mean, tough job, dirty job. How do you do that all day long? I don't know, but they are doing a good job. The other items I want to talk about are the proposed tax increases or fee increases. And permit me to make a suggestion or an observation. Before you authorize a tax or fee increase, how about thinking about ways to reduce costs? Maybe that's going on, but I haven't heard anyone in the budget meetings or seen any reports that say we examined our operational costs and we think there are ways to cut 10% here, 10% there, and maybe we don't just need to add every year to the budget and cause a tax or fee increase. So we the citizens have never heard the departments conduct this kind of analysis. Maybe it's going on, but if you're going to ask taxpayers to pay more, how about saying we did everything we could to reduce costs? Where is the questioning from the administration or council asking, has the department looked at any and all ways to cut operational costs and save the taxpayers money? It seems like a very simple question and should be part of the budget process. Correct me when I'm wrong, but I haven't seen it yet. The administration pays a lot of money for studies and reports by consultants to justify spending on other initiatives. I won't go through that list of those studies. Why not show the people of Bethlehem that a reasonable effort has been made to control costs in the city? It may well be necessary to increase taxes, but we really don't know that until we see a report that examines how the city and its departments are examining ways to control costs. We've heard a city council member comment in the budget process, well, we're not as bad as the other cities. Frankly, I think that's a little insulting and not a good way to present budgets. I ask, is city council a watchdog or is it an enabler of these tax increases? I and others in the community are available to help the city and the administration analyze budgets and look at how the city could control costs and minimize taxes as the highest priority as compared to other areas. Second item I want to talk about is the Walnut Street garage and the public engagement process. I'm not directly related to the issue. I'm not a neighbor. What I have seen is just I've been watching the back and forth between the neighbors, the parking authority, and the historic review board. In my opinion, the process is a mess right now. The level of transparency and true public participation is terrible. The confidence the community has in the parking authority and the city's process, I believe, is extremely low. Maybe the demolition and new construction of the parking deck and apartments is needed. I really don't know. But the process we have seen to date is not an open process and is not a transparent process. I asked council if they can work to fix this problem. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Hackett. Is there anyone else to the left that wants to make comment before I move to the wide center? I'll start to the left and work our way across. Ma'am.
Terry Koiber, 345 Grandview Boulevard, Bethlehem. Just a question I have is, how do you justify, I just thought of this long, I didn't think it has been going over my head, now that I'm a senior, how do you justify charging a senior the same amount of taxes that you charge people that are working for a living? Seniors who are on a fixed income, making maybe a third, quarter of what they used to make, but they still have to pay that tax, which is still up here. Just a thought. What I really wanted to talk about tonight, though, is, has anybody seen the Hallmark cam? That's a question. I'll give you pictures. If you wouldn't mind giving one to the mayor. And just to back that up, this is actual live right now. Okay, same as the bottom picture. If you've been looking at the Hallmark cam of the city of Bethlehem, it does not look like the Christmas city. The tree trunks are wrapped, and there it stops. There's nothing up in the branches. If you look at prior years where it's up in the branches, the picture's there. The first picture is where it was years ago, over the past years. It's beautiful. I've had people comment to me that it looks like something out of a Stephen King magazine or book. I've had somebody say, ooh, better be careful you don't get rolled for your wallet while walking down Bethlehem. I mean, you can tell by looking at those pictures. Go on the Hallmark.com and look at the live stream for Bethlehem. It does not look pretty. It does not look like the Christmas city. I don't know if you can do anything about it, if they can fix it, or are we going to still look like this next year, too? Are we even going to be invited back onto the Hallmark cam? So, take a look. Thanks.
Thank you, Ms. Wood. Mr. Shire?
Bill Shire, 1898 Avenue. I'm here tonight as a, really as a reporter and not as an advocate. I went to the meeting last Tuesday at the First Presbyterian Church about their plans for the church property. And I'll try not to repeat anything that Kurt Breswine wrote in Lehigh Valley Live, which, since I only have 5 minutes. Council has a reduced picture of this photo, thanks to the efforts of the city clerk. I'll just give a tantalizing look to the members of the audience, and one can look at it after the meeting. It's a satellite view of the church property and the surrounding neighborhood. The purpose of the meeting, first let me mention, when you signed in, there was flyers sitting there about a related but different matter, and would provide some context. The church, in order to bolster its financial sustainability, as well as other goals, is entering into a partnership with a nonprofit, which will move its headquarters to the south building of the church. The nonprofit has not yet been named. But the crux of the meeting was to follow up some earlier smaller meetings to get input from the community about where various mixed income housing would be placed on church property. The questionnaire had gone out, or a survey form. They don't know how many went out because they were available to anyone picking them up at the church. They did get over 500 responses, which formed the basis for their planned density. The responses came 35% from church members, 12% from immediate neighbors, 11% from Kirkland residents, 30% from elsewhere in Bethlehem, 2% from visitors to Bethlehem, and the other 10% was unaccounted for. It seemed to read between the lines. I should mention there were 12 tables, each with the large version of that sign or view. And they had little monopoly buildings like Kurt Breswine described. And the idea was each table would decide where those buildings should be. And the buildings consisted of 20 townhouses, 12 twin houses, and 8 apartment buildings, small apartment buildings with 4 units each, total of 76 units. These buildings will be owned by a 501c3 partnership organization, yet to be formed, perhaps. I did raise the question of that they might need rezoning, and apparently there's some lawyers working on this, and also some people working on grants applications. The consultant running the meeting has headquarters in Chicago, and their bill is going to be $60,000. And that really completes my additional notes. They also had a raffle with three donations from businesses. The table I was at came up with a following plan for those looking at the, or searching their memories for what the property is like. To put the little apartment buildings along the south border where the Becca High athletic fields are, to put the townhouses along the eastern border facing Kirkland Village and using up at least part of the parking lot that's back there now, and to put the twin houses to the right of the main entrance. Now, there is some opposition from the other side of Center Street, who are allegedly concerned about the runoff running across Center Street and down to Monocacy Creek. There was, as Kurt mentioned, there was a bit of a disturbance at the beginning of the meeting. Half a dozen people who were raising a bit of a ruckus, and one gentleman standing and shouting so much that the MC, the consultant, had to go over and talk to him. And he told me after the meeting he was afraid there was going to be a physical altercation. But there was not, and those people then left. So I still have 24, oh no, I'm over time now, 27 seconds. Goodness gracious. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Shire. In the center row?
I live at 650 East North Street. Oh, sorry. Thank you. Hi, my name is Megan Lysowski. I live at 650 East North Street. I'm here today to talk about the Activate Broad Street plan. First of all, I love it. I think active transportation is the solution to a lot of our problems. Driving is expensive. Parking is troublesome for people. If we have alternative ways to get around the city, that's going to solve a lot of our ills. The current plan, I recently found out that we got funding for East Broad Street, so the changes that we want to make are going to happen. I specifically want to talk about three intersections and how we can improve them to make the whole corridor even safer for everyone, walkers, bikers, and drivers. At Linden, Elm, and Maple along Broad Street, there are bump outs proposed. If you're not sure what a curb bump out is, here on Church and New Street, it's the part of the sidewalk that juts out in front of the cars so that someone who's walking can see, the drivers can see, everyone can see each other. It puts you in the line of sight. I think curb bump outs are wonderful, but a way that we could step it up is make it a floating curb bump out. So what that looks like is there's space between the current curb, then space for a bike lane, and space for a pedestrian to stand and wait for the cars. If we do this now, we'll be able to add a bike lane on East Broad Street. The current plan does not have a plan to make a bike lane, but if we change these three intersections, we'll be able to do that. From my understanding, changing curb lines is expensive. I would think that you can just put some asphalt down on the road and then everything's fine, but looking at our meeting agenda that we still have, it's a lot about stormwater. If you change the curb, you have to change how the stormwater is going to come. If we make these changes now and opens up the opportunity for us to have a bike lane, then we'll be able to have a bike lane. People will be able to get safely down from Stefco to Broad. Part of the plan mentions that the east and western ends of Broad Street are dangerous to cross due to their width.
I live on between Broad Street and East North Street. The Broad Street outside my house is 58 feet wide. It's 60 feet wide. The current plan doesn't mitigate that at all. It doesn't do anything to help narrow the road. If we have a bike lane, we narrow the road. We know that narrower lanes make people drive slower. The first thing that the walk roll LV plan, that was the brainchild for the Activate Broad Street, says narrow the road lanes to narrow the driving lanes so where you're driving to 11 feet and reduce the speed limit to 25 miles per hour corridor wide. If you haven't thought a lot about road lanes, an average car is 5'10" wide. Anything above 8.5 feet needs a special license to drive. So 11 feet gives perimeter for everything: transit, buses, trucks, and the people driving. Narrowing our roadways is going to help reduce our speed, and it's going to make a safe place for bicyclists. Another reason I think it's important to think about this now is that this plan was written in 2019. In the 4 years since, I saw that there have been modifications, but where I live, there are 100 apartment buildings on the eastern end of Broad Street. There's a charter school, a nursery, two healthcare centers, and a Wawa, which a lot of people walk to. It's a driving destination, but a lot of people are walking there and biking there. And another big part is the opening of the EBS Blue Line. We know that walking and transit are interconnected. EBS Blue runs every 30 minutes. If I'm going to take the bus, I'm going to take a bus that can get me somewhere. I know it's going to be there. I have a plan detailing more that I would like to present to the committee. It's also available on the We Build Bethlehem site under the Climate Action Plan, under the Transportation and Mobility. I think that's all I have to say. Thank you.
You're more than welcome to bring anything forward. You may have already talked to Mr. Alcall, our Public Works Director, but if not, the gentleman here in the center row would be a good person to follow up with after the meeting. So, council members, I'll make sure Mr. Miller forwards this to the front. Was there anyone else in the wide center who wanted to make comment on anything not being voted on this evening? Mr. Antalix.
My comments are based, well, I will say that I reached out to the council's solicitor and to ensure accuracy, but did not receive replies in time to confirm that. And also, my comments are based upon a broad overview, based upon my longevity and my attendance at council meetings. And it's more informative and comparative and qualitative in a sense. However, if I can get this all together, I'll be able to continue. I hold an official letter written by the President of Council to a private citizen with a copy to the mayor following up on a routine request made by a citizen at a public council meeting in December 1993. Meetings then were routinely well attended, as high they are, with much verbal interaction between the public and council. There was no time limit, but control was maintained by council president to prevent frivolity and lengthy dissertations. Council meetings then were classic examples of true representative government, for in addition to extensive citizen interaction, uniquely in a city of extremely high Democratic Party registration, there was an opposing party member on council and the mayor was also Republican. Let's fast forward to December 2023. How can we account for this dramatic deterioration of actions between citizens and council? Today, a citizen is confronted by a 5-minute limit traffic style device, which if exceeded, then in a few seconds have their chain of thought rudely interrupted by the president of the council for their speaking violation. Fortunately, tonight we didn't hear any yet. Yet. Today, as a private citizen speaks or has spoken during public comment, they have rarely been responded to regarding the quality of the subject discussed. An example is a recent very intelligent suggestion by a private citizen of a relocation of the police department. No council comments. On a few times when council has responded, it has been to be personally critical and demeaning of the speaker. Council also seems to be in some lethargy during public comments, but then becomes animated when addressing council, rather addressing agenda items. This observation has been made by a number of knowledgeable and concerned citizens who routinely have attended and paid attention to council meetings. As the quality of council interactions over the years diminished for unexplained reasons, the cadre of concerned citizens attending meetings dramatically diminished, and those who ceased to attend were asked why, as I had seen them on the street. And the consensus was, they do not listen and do not care what we think. Why waste my time? Upon reflection and consultation with all concerned citizens, an emerging consensus might be that the quality of government today is equal to the quality of the people we elect. If we read the list of council names on that 1993 letter, we would read the names of the city's stalwarts, knowledgeable, concerned, and committed to citizen welfare. The recent election might bear this out. A well-known concerned citizen who attended a number of council meetings and offered quite a few intelligent suggestions. Interestingly, many election signs were posted by many concerned citizens of the opposite political party on their lawns, demonstrating a show of support for this candidate. This superior candidate lost to, in my estimation, to an unknown quantity. The best explanation, he was registered as a Republican. Now this is tongue-in-cheek. The infamous old adage might apply here. If the Democrats ran someone of common fame against the Republicans' candidate of biblical fame, guess who would win?
Mr. Italics, I am going to ask you to please start drawing your remarks.
Thanks for proving my point. I appreciate that.
Thank you.
You're very kind. Council has let us know what they think of us, but we citizens have devised a method to let council know what we think of them. And this is by a study. It says, Citizens' Evaluation of Elected Bethlehem Council Members. And you caused me to lose my chain of thought. So I'll be very brief, and I'll be very short, done shortly. With your permission, sir.
Mr. Italics, I'm going to ask you one more time. Please bring your remarks
okay.
to the close, please.
I'll finish it very shortly. I have maybe one paragraph here. All I'm saying is that council study was done some years ago because of a negative interaction between council members and citizens, and it has again been resurrected. And after 55 citizens returning the forms as to rating council members on from 4 being an A to 0 being an F. The ratings were Rachel Leone rated 3.2. Council person Enix was rated 3.1, number 2. Council member Grace Clancy Smith was voted number 3 with 2.6. Mr. Cologne, council member Cologne was rated 2.3, number 4. Number 5 was Paige Van Wuerth, rated 1.8. Number 6 was Councilwoman Wilhelm, rated 0.9. 0.9 is between
Mr. Antalix, I'm going to ask you to
poor and fair. And finally, Councilwoman Kowalczyk is rated 0.7, which is again between zero, between the fair and between marginal and poor. Thank you for allowing me the time.
Thank you, Mr. Antalix. Was there anyone else in the Y Center who wanted to make comment this evening?
Can I just make one additional one?
Ma'am, it's one courtesy of the floor, but you can talk to anyone you want to after the meeting.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else in the Y Center who wanted to make comment who hasn't had an opportunity yet? Is there anyone to the right who wanted to make comment? Thank you. That concludes our public comment for anything not being voted on this evening. We'll move on to our second public comment. Second public comment always reserved for anything that's on the agenda tonight to be voted on, any ordinances or resolutions. We did not have anyone sign up in advance. So again, I'll go around the room, starting to the left. Was there anyone to the left who wanted to make comment on anything that council is voting on tonight? I turn to the center. Anyone who wants to make comment on anything that's on the agenda tonight? Oh, yeah. So this would be anything on the agenda tonight, right, that we're voting on, sir. If you'd like to make comment on any...
The sewer rate tonight?
The sewer rate increases on tonight's agenda, yes, sir.
You don't have to speak about it.
Yes, sir. Come up to the lectern if you would like to make comment.
I want 8 minutes like last guy. I'm just kidding. What I want to say, because there's a lot of talk about, oh, it's only $24. Go back to, let's say that you retired in 2016. Now it's like 30%. That somebody that retired in 2016 is going to pay closer to 30%. It's not 8%. So take that long view. I mean, they're very cagey as they introduce that gradually to people. It reminds me of a famous quote from LBJ. They said, wait a minute, how did you get all that legislation through? And he said, well, you know, Congress is kind of like a whiskey drinker. And if you try to give him the whole bottle at once, he'll throw it back up. But if you give him little sips at a time, he'll drink the whole damn bottle. And that's kind of what's going on with these increases. You know, they trot out one, 3 years later, another one. Pretty soon, if you retired in 2016 and you're on a fixed income, you're paying 30% more in 2024 than you were in 2016. Now, if you're making $116,000 a year with perks, it's not a big deal. But if you're living on a fixed income, it gets dicey in a hurry. So consider that. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Ms. McCool?
About 2.5 months ago, or 1.5 to 2 months ago, this concerns the stormwater and the sewer bill. The intersection that constantly floods was paint marked with and indicating that there was a broken storm sewer there. I was told that, oh, the work could be done as long as it's 40 degrees. We're not getting too many 40 degrees. You're probably going to have to add money into the budget to buy new cans of paint, to repaint those lines and send new people out to resurvey. And my water bill was charged a late fee. I have never been late since I was 18 years old with a bill. And it's because the bills get sent to Philadelphia, and hence they get processed late. Mine was processed 10 days late, and I was charged the late fee. I'm not paying it. You can take me to court for $2.21, but I'm not paying it. So it's time that the city gets responsible and puts, if that storm drain is supposed to be fixed, it should have been done. I mean, we're coming into the wet season again, and I have videos on my phone of the water just flowing. They're supposed to add another storm drain. When? I mean, can anybody tell me when it's supposed to be done? It's really ridiculous. Keep taxing and spending us, tactics, and you work for us, we don't work for you.
Thank you, Ms. McCool. Is there anyone else in the center who wanted to make comment on anything that we're voting on tonight? We'll start with Mr. McKintry and then work our way down. Again, this is for any resolution or ordinance on the agenda.
I'm Brian McCrickert again. I agree with everybody here as far as the sewer tax coming on us. My taxable income per month is $2,000. Where's somebody that earns that little amount? Because I'm disabled since 2012. Where's somebody with that amount supposed to come up with the extra money? Everything's going up in this country. Fuel prices out the roof. Where are we supposed to come up with the money? But you just want to keep throwing taxes on us all the time without thinking about us. Like everybody, like this guy, like he said, you're supposed to be working for us. You wanted to cut him off, even though everything he was saying was the truth. I'm sorry about the way I feel about this stuff, but you know what? I don't know where I'm coming up with the extra money. And look at my taxable income. If it wasn't for my wife retired, I wouldn't be able to afford anything. Okay.
Thank you, Mr. McCrickert. Mr. Shannon?
Well, the thoughts emanating from Grandview Boulevard have sparked something else in my mind. Hillshire, 1898 Avenue. In D.C., where I lived, spent my working life, for some time, a couple of decades, they've had a program where any increase in your property tax due to improvements goes into escrow. You don't have to pay it. And it becomes due when the property is transferred. That's something we could do in Bethlehem. We could even go one better. As Mary Jo and Terry have pointed out, they're retired. They don't have the same income that they used to, but they have the same taxes. Well, the same is true for me, too. And perhaps we could, for seniors, and other people in straitened circumstances, defer some of the real estate tax, not only on improvements, but some of the tax they have been paying when they were earning a living wage. This is not a complaint, but it's a thought. And it's something to think about. It's obviously much larger than the sewer increase tonight, but no better time than to bring it up. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chatter. Is there anyone else in the center who wants to make comment on anything being voted on tonight? Mr. Antalis.
Steven Antalis, 77 Ridge. Looking at the agenda on 7B,
administrative orders. I don't see any problem with anybody. They all appear to be qualified people who are being up for appointment. But also, Dr. Spock taught me a lot. Because of my sons, I found I could get more out of them if I treated them with warm fuzzies rather than cold pricklies, as Dr. Spock mentioned. So, I recall hearing at past council meetings where President Consul allowed a resident in this call public comment to go on almost 10 minutes over the five because they were talking about Moravian history. So I guess if I don't want to be scolded again, I should just stick to the warm fuzzies.
Thank you, Mr. Antal. Was there anyone else in the center who wants to make comment? I turn to the right. Anyone who wants to make comment on anything being voted on this evening? That concludes our public comment. Moving on to old business. Any old business from members of council? Seeing none. On to communications. The clerk will read communication 6A.
November 28th, 2023 memorandum from Edward Buskova, Director of Water and Sewer Resources, with an attached copy of the City of Bethlehem Act 537 special study and proposed resolution. Mr. Buskova explains that the study addresses planned improvements at Bethlehem wastewater treatment plant to increase its organic design capacity. The study has been approved by the governing bodies of all 12 tributary municipalities that are served as well as the Lehigh Valley Planning Commission and the Bethlehem Health Department. The study was subjected to a 30-day public review period. No public comments were received.
Resolution 10B is on the agenda. Communication 6B.
November 29th, 2023, memorandum with an attached resolution from Public Works Director Mike Alcohol recommending a contract with Grace Industries Incorporated of Bath. The contractor will perform stormwater repairs and improvement projects under the job order contracting program known as JOC as needed. The cost will vary based on each job. The contract will expire on December 31st, 2024, and there are two additional one-year terms. Four bids were received. The contractor was the lowest responsible and qualified bidder.
And Resolution 10C is on the agenda. Communication 6C.
A November 29th, 2023 memorandum with an attached resolution for Public Works Director Mike Alcohol recommending a contract with Grace Industries Incorporated of Bath. The contractor will perform water and sewer utility repairs and improvements under the JOC program as needed. Costs will vary based on each job. The contract will expire on December 31st, 2024, and there are two additional one-year terms. Three bids were received. The contractor was the lowest responsible and qualified bidder.
And Resolution 10D is on the agenda. Communication 6D.
A November 29th, 2023 memorandum with an attached resolution from Public Works Director Mike Alcohol recommending a contract with Grace Industries Incorporated of Bath. Contractor will perform curb, sidewalk, and ADA curb ramp projects under the JOC program as needed. Cost will vary based on each job. Contract will expire December 31st, 2024, and there are two additional one-year terms. Three bids were received. This contractor was the lowest responsive and qualified bidder.
And Resolution 10E is on the agenda. Communication 6E.
A November 29th, 2023 memorandum with an attached resolution from Public Works Director Michael Alcohol recommending a contract with Michael F. Ronten and Sons Incorporated of Bethlehem. The contractor will perform general construction projects under the JOC program as needed. Cost will vary based on each job. The contract will expire on December 31st, 2024, and there are two additional one-year terms. Only one bid was received. The contractor was the lowest responsive and qualified bidder.
And Resolution 10F is on the agenda. Communication 6F.
November 29th, 2023 memorandum with an attached resolution from Public Works Director Michael Alcohol recommending a contract with Grace Industries Incorporated of Bath. The contractor will perform paving and road restoration project under the JOC program as needed. The cost will vary based on each job. Contract will expire on December 31st, 2024, and there are two additional one-year terms. Two bids were received. The contractor was the lowest responsive and qualified bidder.
And resolution 10G is on the agenda. Communication 6G.
A November 16th, 2023 communication with an attached petition to amend the city zoning ordinance and exhibit submitted by Stephen Fernstrom, Executive Director of the Bethlehem Parking Authority. Request is to amend the city's zoning map involving a portion of 33 West Walnut Street. Parking garage at this address encompasses three parcels in the Central Business District and additional areas zoned RT, High Density Residential District. Request is to change the area of the parking garage site that is zoned RT to CB, Central Business District, to match the existing site use and that which will be proposed.
In this This petition has been referred to the city's planning commission. I will accept a motion and a second to schedule a public hearing for the proposed zoning map amendment for Tuesday, February the 6th, 2024 at 7 p.m. here in Town Hall. So. Motion by Ms. Leone.
Second.
Second by Ms. Wilhelm. I'll ask the clerk to call the roll on the motion.
Ms. Wilhelm.
Aye.
Ms. Bramson Smith.
Aye.
Dr. Enix.
Aye.
Ms. Leone.
Aye.
And Mr. Colum.
Aye. Passes 5-0. So we're going to have a public hearing to talk about the proposed zoning map amendment for Tuesday, February 6, 2024 at 7 p.m. Communication 6H.
November 30th, 2023. Petition and exhibits from the Bethlehem Parking Authority and West Broad Street Associates, LLC. Seeking to vacate a portion of Walnut Street as particularly described in Exhibit A. The street vacation request comes in conjunction with a proposal to reconstruct a 590-space public parking garage on property owned by West Broad Street Associates, LLC, and EPA.
So this petition has also been referred to the city's planning commission. I'll accept another motion and a second for another public hearing on the same night, Tuesday, February 6, 2024, at 7 p.m. about the street vacation.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Councilwoman Wilhelm, second by Councilwoman Cramsey Smith. We'll call the roll on the motion.
Ms. Wilhelm.
Aye.
Ms. Bramson Smith.
Aye.
Dr. Enix.
Aye.
Ms. Leone.
Aye.
And Mr. Colum.
Aye. Motion passes 5-0. The second public hearing will be the same night, Tuesday, February 6, 2024 at 7 p.m. to talk about the street vacation associated with the garage. Moving on to reports, I have nothing to report this evening. Mayor Reynolds?
Thank you. Just a couple things. First of all, I was just looking at the calendar here. I believe it is next Monday at 5:30. We will be lighting the menorah outside on Payroll Plaza. It's usually about 45 minutes, about 5:30, 6:15, 6:30 or so. We had a big crowd last year, so we are looking forward to doing that again. I have a series of administrative orders here. And I'll just run through those. I hereby reappoint Joe Narkevic, 603 North Clulla Street, Bethlehem, PA 18018, to the Sister City Commission, and this appointment is effective through March 2024.
Administrative order for Joe Narkevic, Sister City Commission. Resolution sponsored by Ms. Kwiatek and Ms. Wilhelm.
Any discussion on the appointment? We'll call the roll.
Ms. Wilhelm.
Aye.
Ms. Bramson Smith.
Aye.
Dr. Enix.
Aye.
Ms. Leone.
Aye.
And Mr. Colum.
Passes 5-0. I hereby reappoint Ellen Carey Byrne, 144 West Langhorne Avenue, Bethlehem, PA 18017, the Sister City Commission. This appointment is effective through October 2026.
Administrative order for Ellen Carey Byrne to the Sister City Commission. Resolution sponsored by Ms. Kwiatek and Ms. Wilhelm.
Discussion. We'll call the roll.
Ms. Wilhelm.
Aye.
Ms. Bramson Smith.
Aye.
Dr. Enix.
Aye.
Ms. Leone.
Aye.
And Mr. Colum.
Aye. Passes 5-0. Thank you. Hereby reappoint Nancy Laura Topping, 734 Fire Lane, Bethlehem, PA 18018, to the Sister City Commission. This appointment is effective through March 2025.
Administrative order for Nancy Laura Topping to the Sister City Commission. Resolution sponsored by Ms. Kwiatek and Ms. Wilhelm.
Discussion? We'll call the roll.
Ms. Wilhelm.
Aye.
Ms. Ramsey Smith.
Aye.
Dr. Enix.
Aye.
Ms. Leone.
Aye.
And Mr. Colum.
Aye. Passes 5-0.
I hereby appoint Mikio Salen, 2064 Pleasant Drive, Bethlehem, PA 1802, the Sister City Commission. This appointment is to fill the expired term of Catherine Bird, and this appointment is effective through October 2025.
Administrative order for Mikio Salen. Resolution is sponsored by Ms. Kwiatek and Ms. Wilhelm.
Discussion?
We'll call the roll. Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Bramson Smith?
Aye.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Leone?
Aye.
And Mr. Cologne?
Aye. Passes 5-0.
And then I hereby appoint Autumn Edwards, 2102 Lincoln Avenue, Northampton, Pennsylvania, 18067, to the Sister City Commission. This appointment is to fill the expired term of Deirdre Sumter. This appointment is effective through November 2026.
Administrative order for Autumn Edwards, Sister City Commission. Resolution sponsored by Ms. Kwiatek and Ms. Wilhelm.
Discussion? Ms.
Francis?
I just want to say, give a shout out to for Deirdre Sumter, who unfortunately passed away and is hopefully looking down upon us. I had the honor of working with her for many, many years. She was a Japanese teacher who really enlightened and brought much joy to the students with the Japanese language and culture. And I know she was really dedicated to this city and the sister city. So I just want to say thank you, Deirdre, and Godspeed.
Thank you, Ms. Francis. Any other discussion? We'll call the roll.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Bramson Smith?
Aye.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Leone?
Aye.
And Mr. Cologne?
Aye.
Appointment passes 5-0.
Thank you. And I believe Mr. Evans also had, while we're on the subject of Sister City, had sent you an email that we had worked out the $400 that I believe they were looking for. It didn't need any council action. They had contacted us after the budget book had been printed, which was the reason for why that got to where it was, but it's now taken care of. And then the last administrative order I have is I hereby appoint Jenna M. Fleazar, Esquire, 1275 Glen Livet Drive, Suite 100, Allentown, PA, 180106, Assistant City Solicitor.
Administrative order, Jenna M. Fleazar, Assistant City Solicitor. The resolution sponsored by Ms. Kwiatek and Ms. Wilhelm.
Discussion?
I just want to acknowledge Ms. Fleazar is here and came around to introduce herself to some of us before the meeting. We forwarded her resume as is customary, and welcome to the Law Bureau, and thank you for joining the team that Mr. Spurk so capably runs there. Any other discussion regarding the appointment? We'll call the roll.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Bramson Smith?
Aye.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Leone?
Aye.
And Mr. Cologne?
Aye. Passed 5-0.
Thank you. And I would also like to welcome Ms. Fleazar to the administration. We are looking forward to her getting started and working in City Hall. I believe that is it for the Mayor's Report. President Cologne.
Thank you, Mayor Rounds. Moving on to ordinances for final passage.
I have a report.
Oh. Finance. Ms. Enix, have you apologized, Dr. Enix?
Right.
Our Finance Committee report.
The Finance Committee met tonight, Tuesday, December 5th, 2023, at 6 p.m. in Town Hall. The committee discussed two agenda items, the 2022 city audit, the 2024 proposed sewer rate increase. Review of the 2022 audit was for informational purposes only. No vote or further reaction or further action was necessary. The 2024 proposed sewer rate that was tabled November 8th. It was reconsidered earlier tonight, and the committee voted to recommend placement of the bill on tonight's council meeting agenda for first reading. Wandalyn J. Enix, Chairwoman, Finance Committee.
Thank you, Dr. Enix. Moving on to ordinances for final passage, I'll ask the clerk to read Bill 40, 2023.
An ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh and Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, amending the 2023 General Fund Budget. Bill 40, 2023, is sponsored by Ms. Wilhelm and Ms. Leone.
Discussion? We'll call the roll.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Bramson Smith?
Aye.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Leone?
Aye.
And Mr. Cologne?
Aye. Passes 5-0. Moving on to new ordinances. Clerk will read Bill 52, 2023.
An ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh and Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, amending Article 927 of the City Bethlehem Codified Ordinance titled Sewer Rental. Bill 52-2023 is sponsored by Ms. Kliatek and Ms. Wilhelm.
Discussion? Ms. Francis Smith.
We did discuss this, and I just want to say, for those that are present and listening, I definitely hear all the concerns about a sewer rate increase or any increase, naturally, especially those who are on a fixed income or low middle income. We did table it at the previous committee meeting, but at this committee meeting, we decided to vote it. It was voted to council, and Dr. Enix and I did meet we had a long meeting with Mr. Boscola regarding this increase to try to get a better handle on the need for it. And during that meeting, we did talk about looking at a rate study in the future to make sure that we can avoid any further rate increases unless absolutely necessary, and to see if we can do anything regarding the rates, and to be equitable for both the city residents as well as those out of the city that receive water and sewer services. So based on that meeting and our discussion that we will do a rate study, I will be proposing a rate increase now, so I've changed my mind. Thank you.
Any other discussion from members of council? Ms. Leon?
I wanted to thank the Finance Committee for doing that meeting. It's really good to know that you guys are considering a rate study, to go as well, Mr. Mastola. A study that's crazy to hear, and hopefully while we're doing that study, maybe we can dig into the questions of, like, are we allowed to give different rates for seniors or people on fixed incomes? I know that's a very complex question, given like what are the state regulations and the local regulations, but if we are going to be doing these studies, then I think it'd be a really good time to see how we can lessen the burden on the people who just can't sustain increases over time.
Any other discussion from members of council? Ms. Wilhelm?
Yes, I'll second those comments. I think we all agree that it makes sense to take the time to do the study and take a very comprehensive look at it. I wanted to mention, those of you who are not tuned into the Finance Committee meeting, that if you do find this increase to be a burden, you can contact the Water and Sewer Department to discuss a payment plan. So there are options for you as well. Thank you.
Any other comments from members of council? I'll just echo some of my comments from the Finance Committee meeting. So when we had our budget meeting to talk about this, and as I referenced previously, it's never without thought that we talk about raising any fees, but just from a practical enterprise that is our sewer department and our water department, that these departments operate on user fees. Whether it's paying our water bill, paying our sewer fees, things like that. We've been fortunate to a degree to not have to raise the sewer rates since 2020, I believe, Mr. Boscola. This is the first sewer rate increase since 2020. And since then, if you look in our budget book where the numbers are clearly borne out as we publish our budget year after year, the fund sees an increase in just the cost of providing infrastructure, the cost of personnel and labor, all those costs come to the city also. And the sewer fund has in the past at times had to borrow money. So when we talk about how do we want to kind of balance the budget here in terms of keeping up with infrastructure needs, it comes down to the decisions of what's an appropriate sewer rate increase, or if we elect not to raise the sewer rate, well then how do we close that gap? And we've talked over the years about how certain departments have seen less personnel. And then we've talked about the debt we've been able to pay down the general fund and across other funds over the years. So while I don't ever support any increase without thought, I think it is, when we talk about the $24 a year for the average residential user, at the end of the day, it comes down to, in my opinion, a more responsible way of conducting business than looking at closing budget gaps with more borrowing or other limits to the operations to what they have now. But I would also encourage, as we talked about, looking at how we bill our users across the different tributaries, the other municipalities that send us their sewage, and also, as I shared at the budget committee meeting, hopefully it's not for a few years. This is the first time we've raised sewer rates since 2020, repeating myself from a minute ago, and hopefully we're not talking about another sewer rate increase for a couple years, which gives us adequate time, I would hope, to kind of investigate what model we want to continue to use, whether it be this one, or even just get background if future councils want to know what options are out there. Before I give it back to Council Mayor Reynolds, was there anything you want to add?
Just a couple things, and Mr. Spurk can make some comments now as well about just this general idea of how the kind of suburban fees work. But I would say it's like, clearly it's like anything else. We talk about this when we're talking about personnel. We talk about this as like, we know unless you're going to tell your police or your fire or your workers, you know, on the streets that like you're going to get 0% next year, like that whatever contract number, 2-3%, what is usually it's around there, that money has to come from somewhere. And our sewer system is the same thing. Our sewer system is old. We know that in the next 5, 10, 15, 20 years, you're looking at millions of dollars, as with every sewer system anywhere you're going to find that has infrastructure needs. So the question then becomes, what's the best way to be able to get that revenue? What's the best way to be able to plan that revenue? So you had said that there hasn't been an increase since 2020, which is true. If it was council's will to be able to say, rather than go 8% in 1 year, we'd rather have you go 2%, 2%, 2%, 2%, that's a different way to be able to get that revenue. But it's just an equation about how we necessarily end up getting the necessary revenue to make sure that we have one of our most basic needs filled. And the water and the sewer system is filled by user fees. So that's where that's coming from. We're not taking general fund tax dollars or property taxes and putting it into Bethlehem Township pipes. Like that's not the way that this works. So obviously, and I know all of you have correctly talked about how this isn't something you would do without research. We obviously wouldn't do it also without bringing it forward after doing that work for years and years and years, as far as what's the best way to necessarily fund the tens of millions of dollars that any city's infrastructure is going to need. But obviously the topic as far as like how it works with other municipalities, how we're able to charge, I think Mr. Spurk is able to make some general comments about it this time, because I know that topic has come up multiple times.
Just by way of some quick background, as council looks forward and considers possible adjustments in the future to the allocation of cost between the city and the outlying tributaries, these are the agreements that we have in place with them. As you can see, some of them are yellowed and old style 14-inch legal size paper, and they stood the test of time for some reasons. There are very complicated formulas involved, and as any document that's 75 pages long, there are also a lot of mutual rights and obligations between the parties, and to start moving one of those rights or obligations will have an effect on the others too. Sort of practice has achieved sort of an equilibrium over the years, so usually these increases are pretty well handled without going in here and looking at colons or semicolons or things like that. The practice that has been in place has sort of stood the test of time. So one would be wary, I think, to go and try to change the equilibrium. And just the one specific point, as a rationale to charge the tributaries more than the city, you wouldn't want to use the rationale that the outlying tributaries have much longer service lines and they cost so much more to maintain than our self-contained lines here within the city. And the reason you wouldn't want to use that rationale is because these agreements, every one of them, at item number 15, puts that responsibility on the tributaries. They maintain their own collection system. That's no cost to the city taxpayers at all. The city is only concerned with how much stuff gets planned. We're not responsible for how far it traveled. So just a cautionary note as you think forward, that would not probably be a rationale to charge the municipalities more. And I know there had been some consideration of that. Just wanted to make clear that that's something that's clearly provided for in these agreements. the tributaries take care of that themselves. We're not responsible for any of that. Those provisions could be changed through negotiation, but you'd probably wind up with a lot of other changes as well. So there's sort of comments just for the good of the order going forward.
Thank you, Mr. Spur, for that background. Before we take a vote, was there any other questions or comments from members of council? I will ask the clerk to call the roll.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Mr. MC Smith?
Aye.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Leone?
Aye.
And Mr. Colon?
Aye. Passes 5-0. Continuing on to resolutions, the clerk will read resolution 10A.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem, in accordance with Municipal Records Manual, hereby authorizes the disposal of public records in the Office of Code Enforcement Bureau, as set forth in Exhibit A. Resolution is sponsored by Ms. Kwiatek and Ms. Wilhelm.
Discussion on the resolution? We'll call the roll.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Ramsey Smith?
Aye.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Leone?
Aye.
And Mr. Colon?
Aye. Passes 5-0. Resolution 10B.
Be resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the city has found the special study adequate for the wastewater disposal and management needs. The municipality hereby adopts a special study known as the City of Bethlehem Act 537 Special Study, dated June 2023, as a revision to the official plan of the municipality. Further, the Council of the City of Bethlehem hereby assures the Department of Environmental Protection the proper and timely implementation of the special study. Resolution is sponsored by Ms. Kwiatek and Ms. Wilhelm.
Discussion? We'll call the roll.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Ramsey Smith?
Aye.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Leone?
Aye.
And Mr. Colon?
Aye. Passes 5-0. Resolution 10C.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the mayor and the controller and or such other city officials is deemed appropriate by the city solicitor are hereby authorized to execute all documents in agreement with Grace Industries Incorporated for stormwater utility work. Resolution sponsored by Ms. Kwiatek and Ms. Wilhelm.
Discussion? We'll call the roll.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Ramsey Smith?
Aye.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Leone?
Aye.
And Mr. Colon?
Aye. Passes 5-0. Resolution 10D.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the mayor and controller and or such other city officials is deemed appropriate by the city solicitor are hereby authorized to execute all documents agreements with Grace Industries Incorporated for utility work. Resolution is sponsored by Ms. Kwiatek and Ms. Wilhelm.
Discussion? Call the roll.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Ramsey Smith?
Aye.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Leone?
Aye.
And Mr. Colon?
Aye. Passes 5-0. Resolution 10E.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem, the mayor and controller and or such other city officials is deemed appropriate by the city solicitor are hereby authorized to execute all documents and agreements with Grace Industries Incorporated for sidewalk, curb, and ADA ramp work. Resolution is sponsored by Ms. Kwiatek and Ms. Wilhelm.
Discussion? Call the roll.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Ramsey Smith?
Aye.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Leone?
Aye.
And Mr. Colon?
Aye. Passes 5-0. Resolution 10F.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the mayor and the controller and or such other city officials is deemed appropriate by the city solicitor are hereby authorized to execute all documents in agreement with Michael F. Franca and Sons, Incorporated for general construction work. Resolution is sponsored by Ms. Kwiatek and Ms. Wilhelm.
Discussion? We'll call the roll.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Ramsey Smith?
Aye.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Leone?
Aye.
And Mr. Colon?
Aye. Passes 5-0. Resolution 10G.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem, the mayor and the controller and or such other city officials deemed appropriate by the city solicitor are hereby authorized to execute all documents and agreements with Grace Industries for paving work. Resolution is sponsored by Ms. Kwiatek and Ms. Wilhelm.
Discussion? We'll call the roll.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Ramsey Smith?
Aye.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Leone?
Aye.
And Mr. Colon?
Aye. Passes 5-0. Resolution 10H.
Certificate of Appropriateness under the provisions of the Act of Pennsylvania Legislature, Bethlehem Resolutions, is hereby granted for 29 East 3rd Street to replace four existing non-illuminated wall signs for Bank of America. Resolution sponsored by Ms. Kwiatek and Ms. Wilhelm.
Discussion? We'll call the roll.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Francis Smith?
Aye.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Leone?
Aye.
And Mr. Cologne?
Aye. Passes 5-0. And our last resolution, 10-I.
Certificate of Appropriateness under the provisions of the Act of Pennsylvania Legislature, Bethlehem Resolutions, is hereby granted for 203 East 3rd Street to secure a COA to install new wall sign in the existing signboard area. Resolution sponsored by Ms. Kwiatek and Ms. Wilhelm.
Discussion? We'll call the roll.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Francis Smith?
Aye.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Leone?
Aye.
And Mr. Cologne?
Aye. Passes 5-0. Moving on to new business. Any new business from members of council? Ms. Ramsey Smith.
I just wanted to ask, I know a lot of people spoke, and there's an issue with the water bill, and I'm just wondering, Mr. Vasco, is it a possibility or even appropriate to look into, like they said, look at the internal controls to see if there's any issues? Or, like, are there any other options as far as trying to resolve these issues?
Well, I think the Will Webbers, I think we've addressed that one. But the young lady who has since left, I'll have to get her name and address so I can follow up with her issue. I'm not familiar with her, okay. with her issue with her water bill. But generally speaking, if people have questions about their bill, they contact us and we try and resolve the issue. I would say that, without getting into it, you know, every customer is a little, can have a little slightly different circumstances as to what's going on. But generally speaking, our metering infrastructure is very reliable. And we try and find out from those customers who have higher than normal usage what could possibly happen. And 9 times out of 10, it's because of some real world usage, either a leak, something, the faucet's running, something's running out in the backyard. We just had a guy not long ago who has a landscape irrigation system in his yard, was leaking for 2 months because he called with an astronomical bill, and he recognized it and he owned the problem. So we try and get to the bottom of what could possibly be wrong. Now, having said that, there are cases, very rare, where the cause is indeterminate. Case in point, the customers who were here earlier today. We test the meter checks out fine, they say they didn't use the water, we say, well, here's what the meter says, and it just tested out accurately. So there's not much we have to go on with the technology we have, and we just have to go base it on what we do and what we know and what is in the ordinance that allows us to give them a credit on their usage.
So is there, I know it might be difficult to say, but is there any legitimacy to what the engineer said as far as maybe looking at internal controls?
I'd have to look. I don't understand exactly what, I from my perspective, I have no knowledge of any problems with our metering infrastructure. Now, that's not to say it's perfect. You know, nothing is perfect, but we have a highly reliable metering infrastructure. I'd have to look into a little bit more what he was talking about. With the new meters being digitally and electronic information being passed from the meter to our billing system, there is potential for, you know, wires to get crossed and you get some wrong bad data, but we constantly look at that data transfer and say, is the data that we're collecting make sense? You know, is it relatively accurate? You know what I mean? Because we're getting data from 37,000 customers on a monthly basis. So you're collecting all of this data into our database, and the database is able to look at this more broadly speaking and say, okay, is this making sense? You know, and a lot of it is comes down to common sense, really. Is the customer's reading normal, meaning is it within a certain range? Is it zero? Is it a million? You know, so we have analysis in place, or I should say technology in place that looks at it broadly speaking to say is our metering infrastructure working properly? So we do that. You know, there are odd cases with 37,000 meters where something just goes screwball and we can't figure out what's going on. But we try and be as fair as possible.
I'm just thinking, because of the attention lately to this issue, like maybe we need to consider, like, do we have to look at internal controls or have some kind of system for those odd cases where it's unexplainable?
We can take a look at it, but I just standing here, you know, if there's just only one or two cases, I have not heard of any broad problem with our metering infrastructure to warrant some major overview or audit or something of our metering. But in those particular cases, we'll take a look at her individual bill and meter and see what's going on there.
Okay. Thank you. I just have one more issue that it probably should have gone under old business, but I didn't think it went by. At the last meeting, we did a vote again on a retired police officer purchasing their gun. And before that vote, one council person stated that in 15 minutes they can find a dozen instances of police officers, former police officers, killing their wives and then turning the guns on themselves. And I guess I just have to say that if it was up to me, guns would not exist at all in the world, because I am totally anti-gun. But as a counselor, there's many theories of counseling, and one of the most popular is cognitive behavioral therapy. And one of the techniques is looking at illogical thinking, and one area of illogical thinking is overgeneralization. And I felt that this was an overgeneralization that was stated. Again, we're all entitled to our own opinion, but I have to state that my dad, who was my hero, was the best police chief in my mind, aside from Chief Cockby and second. And I have three nephews who are police officers, and I feel that I have to stand up for them, that I'm offended by that comment, because I think it was overgeneralizing. If we don't want to vote for an officer to purchase their gun, that's fine. But I have a real problem with that, and it really has bothered me in the last 2 weeks, because I think of the sacrifices that my dad made that literally put him in a grave early, and the sacrifices that my nephews have made and continue to make every day, risking their lives. And while I'm against guns, I think that, you know, it was a real overgeneralization. And it also is very concerning, because we have a local and national issue with hiring and retaining police officers. And I guess I just have to state my feelings on that statement. And again, we're all entitled to our opinions, but I think that it was harmful. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other new business from members of council? Councilwoman Leal?
I had a question for you, Mr. Huckall. If there are issues with ADA ramps that might be a little bit too difficult to traverse, is there a process in which people can report that either an ADA accessible ramp is damaged, or if there is a ramp that is too difficult to traverse without like a motorized assistance? What's the process of kind of identifying?
Just simply call our engineering bureau and we'll go inspect it and identify the problem, and if it needs addressing, okay, we'll pursue.
And when it comes to, I think we talked about this last year, but when we're replacing sidewalks and all that stuff, like some of these sidewalks are very old and there aren't ADA accessibilities like at the corners, do we as a city require, or maybe that's a state thing, but do we require that like those corners be ADA accessible for like if a street is getting redone?
Yeah, in all honesty, the sidewalks, including the curb ramps, are the responsibility of budding property owner. However, we do, whenever work is done abutting the curb ramps, mm-hmm, like paving, the city upgrades and addresses those ramps. That we've done in the past and will continue to do so. So, to answer your first question as well, if there's an issue with curb ramps, strictly speaking, we would have to deal with the property owner with regard to that issue.
Do you know if there's any like grant funding available for property owners that maybe it's like a business or something that like people travel quite often in front of their business. Is there any kind of grant funding available at the state level for ADA compliance?
Yeah, unfortunately that's come up time and time again, and to our knowledge there isn't any funding for that.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you, Mr. Alcohol, as always. And I guess Chief Cotta had a question for you as well. And I guess it is along, what's the role of the police if something is kind of blocked, like if an ADA accessibility is blocked and the police are called, and, you know, I know you guys get called for everything, and you're very limited into what you can do. There actually has to be a crime going on. So, like, is there a role for the police in getting vehicles towed that are blocking ADA, or is that the parking authority, or is there anything that kind of restricts that from happening?
So it depends. Everything, every case is unique. I can't speak to some of the circumstances that this gentleman spoke about earlier tonight because I wasn't there. I will definitely look into it. I have it down on my notepad as something to also share at the lieutenant's meeting tomorrow. But when there is a vehicle, and I don't know if he can elaborate, is it a vehicle that's parked in a driveway that
It's in their driveways. The driveways are too short for the vehicles.
Right.
And they have them hanging out on the sidewalks.
Right.
The one literally has like 5 feet in front of his one car to his house, and then another 3 to 4 or 5 feet in front of his other car, and his vehicle's hanging over the curb.
Okay.
Now, can I say something? As far as ADA
absolutely.
Grants.
I can come after the meeting and talk to you, sir.
No, I'd like to add something to what
I totally don't control the floor.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
Sir, I'm just going to say this isn't the time for public comment, but we will have these conversations.
We're ending now, and I'm
individually
staking around.
After.
She came up with a good thing, though, a good question, and he also had a good thing, too. I just got an email that Art Squad just got a grant from somebody to go and update all the ADA down here.
We could talk about that, Mr. McCricker. We're now talking about agencies outside the city. So we'll talk outside city government. So we could have those conversations individually after this meeting. Councilwoman Leo,
yeah, I'll come right up there.
And it's also about the parking out there. It's all over the place.
Mr. McCricker, we'll have that conversation at the appropriate time after this meeting, sir.
I'm done with my comments, so as soon as we end the meeting, I'll come and talk to you, because this is literally the last thing that I was going to say.
Understood.
To answer your question, if it is obstructing the sidewalk, we would issue a parking ticket. If it's a major threat, or is, you know, in somebody's lawn or something like that, we would obviously tow it. But our first course of action would be to issue a parking ticket.
Okay. Right, thank you.
Try to get them to do this.
Mr. Bosco, any other questions or comments from members of council under new business? Dr. Enoch?
I just wanted to thank Mr. Shire for his exceptional presentation on the First Presbyterian project. I think that's an excellent idea for our city. I remember JFK saying that God's work must truly be our own, and that's God's work. The scale of that is immense. I know that territory very well. Walking through the walking areas is very thoughtful, the process, the planning, and the visioning is there. So thank you, Mr. Shire, for your explanation and description of that meeting.
Any other new business from members of council? Before we adjourn, I'll just remind everyone our budget hearings have concluded. Our budget book is always published online, where we go over all of our numbers to what our city's revenues are, what our expenditures are, and have discussed what the challenges we have are as it relates to some of the tax increase, just like the sewer rate increase that we discuss and talk about how we come to these conclusions. That being said, get home safe, everyone. This meeting is adjourned.